If you will, go ahead and turn to the first scripture. It's Ecclesiastes, and Mike will put the others up there in a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The title of the message today is simply Seasons. Seasons. And no, it's not a Christmas message, and you might think it's an early New Year's message. It's neither of those, but it does have to do with the changing of seasons. And the purpose of the message, I don't usually do this, but I'm telling you ahead of time. The purpose of the message is simply to stir your heart to seek understanding of the season that you're in, the season in which God has you right now, and to prepare yourself to embrace, through faith, a new season in your life, the new season that God is going to bring. As I said, maybe it's early and it sounds like New Year's, but God has ordained that life is divided by seasons. He is a God of seasons. Many people go through their lives and never consider the seasons of life, but God is a God of seasons, and there are laws that govern those seasons of our lives. We're going to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to go straight to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. So the scriptures are up there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So there are times for these things, and we'll come back to that. If you look at Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, we find a law of God, a principle that is unbending. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Contrary to what many of us have quoted most of our life, that in the end times, in the last days, that you won't be able to tell one season from another, that's not in the Bible. The Bible says that seed time and harvest will never cease, that the seasons will not change, but they will remain the same until the time of the Lord. Now, if you'll just keep those scriptures in your mind for a few moments, I believe, and if this is not for you today, then just let it be planted in your spirit, because it's for a time to come. But I am sensing and believing that there are many in this room today that are sensing in their spirit that God is preparing them.
Come on.
God is causing their hearts to be stirred. There's a longing. Is there a longing in your heart for something new? How many of you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you just, sometimes you just feel like you're right on the edge of something new that God wants to do in your life, a new season, a new time, some new thing, and maybe you can't put your finger on it, or perhaps God has shown you what it is, but He said, this is not the time. And yet you know that it's close, you can taste it. You can feel it. You can sense it in your spirit. I believe that there are many here today that are longing and are seeking something that's better, something that's new. Now, I know the Apostle Paul said that, speaking of times of lack and times of plenty, he said that we are to be content in all things. But, beloved, that does not mean that we aren't to have a longing for better things. Just because we are to be content in all things doesn't mean that we're never to pray for anything else. That there's not another season. That there's not a longing in our heart for other things. And how many of you know it's not wrong to long for better? God is a God of seasons, even in Arizona. He is a God of seasons. I know it's strange when people first move here. It was strange for us when we saw it drop to 70 degrees and people had on sweaters. I just couldn't believe it. But now I understand. And for us here in Arizona, when it reaches 70 or below, I don't know about you, but there's this time of the year in October, November, that you feel that first chill in the air. And it's like, even though nothing has changed, it's like fall is in the air. Fall is, and it's like there's a change. You can feel it. There's something different about it. Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a season and a time. I want you to remember these words. A time for every purpose under heaven. Every season has a time. And seasons are not without purpose. The seasons of your life are not without purpose. Some are long. Some seem like they will never end. Some are short. Some are filled with joy and some are filled with sorrow. Some are filled with living and some are brought down to dying. Some seasons are for building up. Some are for tearing down. As we read, some are for sowing and planting and others are for harvesting or reaping. Every life is filled with season and God has ordained the seasons. Each season has a purpose. And His purpose is always good. The question this morning is, have you learned to find the purpose that He has ordained in the season in which you find yourself? As I said a moment ago, many people go through life and they never consider the seasons or the purposes of God. And I said that God's purposes in your seasons are good. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." I believe every believer should know that verse because there are times when you need it. There are times when you say, "God, what are you doing to me? You're tearing me apart." God says, "I know the plans that I have for you. They're not to harm you. They're to bless you. They are for a future and for a hope." That means that there's another season to come if there's a future. And there are good seasons yet ahead of you. Many people go through life again and never consider those seasons and those purposes. Other people follow God, but new seasons frighten them. The thought of a new season frightens them. They have no courage to respond to a new season and they miss. Many people miss the seasons, I believe, that God would purpose for their lives because they're afraid to take the step of faith that is required to step into those seasons. They are anchored to what they are used to. They are anchored. I want you to listen to this because this may be you this morning. They are anchored to what they are used to, and what they are used to is sameness. Sameness. Most of us in our minds think that we like change and we like adventure and we like all of these things, but we fall into a rut and the truth is we like sameness. We like the rut. We like the routine. Many times for a long season in our lives. But God's not going to leave you in that rut and He's not going to leave you in that routine, and I'll come back to that in a moment. As we approach the new year, perhaps there'll be other messages on this. I don't know. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to give you, as we go through this morning, there are just a few truths and principles that you can take to the bank. And I don't mean the physical bank. God does not measure nor initiate seasons with the clock or with the calendar. We tend, in His grace, we mark by years. Old Testament marked by years. We mark by years, and a new year comes, and in God's grace, many times because we begin to anticipate, make goals, look at things, then sometimes the new seasons in our lives coincide with the new year on the calendar and what God is doing in our lives. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God from His end does not measure, nor does He initiate the seasons in your life by the clock, nor by the calendar. God initiates seasons by truth and revelation. God initiates seasons by truth and revelation. What do I mean by that? God will carry you into a new season by speaking new things to you. In other words, when you hear a word from God, it may be something you hear in your spirit as you pray. It may be something that He shows you in His Word that just unfolds a whole new aspect of this walk with Him to you. It may be something you hear in a sermon that gives you enlightenment and understanding, and God's saying to you, this is a direction I'm charting for you. This is something new. But God initiates the seasons in our life by us getting this new or greater revelation of Christ in our lives. God shows us something we haven't seen before, and that propels us into something new in our life. Amen? I mean, if you can say that there's been a time in your life that God opened the window of heaven, showed you something, and it was the beginning of something new for your life. You may have to think about it for a moment, but I guarantee you that's the way it has worked in your life. God shows you, if you're growing, if you're walking with the Lord, if you're moving from season to season, it's because you're growing in the things of God, and He's showing you things, and we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, the Bible says. So God will carry you into a new season by speaking new things to you. Fresh revelation of Christ. Some word of direction. A truth that literally moves you from one place to another. Some seasons come and you don't want to go through them. Not every season is springtime and bird singing. Seasons come and sometimes you don't want to go through them and you beg God to lift them from you. But in the seasons, in these seasons, you learn some things, and you would never have learned those things if you had not gone through the season. Am I right? I can think of many seasons that I've been through that were not easy, that were very difficult, but I learned things that I would not have learned if God had not taken me through that season. So God reveals something, and He moves us into and through seasons in our life. And even though they're hard, God is not finished with you. Now, there'll be something, I believe, for everybody in this message, but for somebody here this morning, I believe there may be someone who says, I just feel like God's finished with me. I just don't know. I don't sense Him doing anything. Beloved, God is not finished with you at all. In hard seasons, there are some things that happen. And I'm speaking partly here from the Word and partly from experience, which bears it out. But in hard seasons, personalities and motives are revealed. Your own personalities, your own motives are revealed in hard seasons, but so are personalities and motives of people that you encounter. Hard seasons are times, sometimes, when we learn to deal with difficult people. We learn to walk through very difficult circumstances, and God shows us the motive of hearts and the things that reveal the attitudes of people and the things that the enemy uses to come against us. And so hard seasons reveal the enemy's plans against you, the things that the enemy is bringing against you. Hard seasons reveal your own vulnerability, your own weakness. How many of you have been through a hard season and you thought you were strong until you went through that season? How many of you walked with the Lord for a while and you thought you were a mighty warrior in Christ? And you just had faith for everything. And then God took you through a hard season and you found that you were so weak, it was all you could do to cling to that old rugged cross and keep believing. There's a reason for every season that comes into our lives. Your weakness is revealed, but so is God's strength in those seasons. Paul said, being confident in this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ. That God's going to complete what he has begun in you, and he's going to complete it by taking you through cycles and seasons, through circumstances of life. I want to tell you this morning that we can go through the Bible and you can see, if you look at many of God's servants, you can observe their lives by seasons. You can see the seasons that God carried them through. But Peter is the example that we're going to look at this morning. I want us to look at just a few areas of his life, and I want to lift out three principles about moving into new seasons, because this isn't to sound like one of those TV preacher pep you up talks where God's about to do a new season in your life. But God is going to do a new season in your life. I believe that with all of my heart. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is for the hungry heart. This is for the one who says, I need a new season, and I believe God's taking me there. Matthew chapter 4, we're only going to read a couple of verses from Peter's life, and then possibly three or four more at the end if we have time. But in chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, this is the call of Peter, the fisherman. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. The first thing that I want to show you this morning is that new seasons bring new change. New seasons bring new changes. Jesus walks by the fishing boat of Peter and Andrew, and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Beloved, things change. You know this. Things change whether we see the season in it or not. Life doesn't stay the same. Things change whether we embrace seasons or not. God is a God of seasons, and God is a God of change. In nature, some seasons are for things to grow, and some seasons are for things to die off. And I want you now to begin to really look with spiritual eyes and listen with spiritual ears. Because a tree blooms and it buds in spring, and it begins to put forth new life, and this is the first season of its year. The tree has been barren. Now it begins to bud, and now it begins to put forth new growth, and then the season changes. Summer comes, and the tree begins to be filled with leaves, and it begins to bear fruit. It flourishes. It's green, and around here it's orange trees and citrus trees, and they're loaded with fruit. Summer is a time of the production. It's a time of bringing forth new things into being. And so there is a season for the producing of fruit. Now remember, I said God ordains the seasons. We tend to think that the fruit time, the fruit bearing time, we tend to think that the time of summer is the time that's valid. We tend to think that the time of summer is the only good time. But God sees all seasons as important seasons in our lives. And so there's a time of budding forth. There's a time of beginning to spring forth and to sprout into something new. There's a time of flourishing and a time of bringing forth fruit. And then there's a time when there is a season of rest from that bearing forth fruit. And yet the tree becomes more glorious than ever. And again, I say, even in Arizona. Maybe some of you don't notice things like an artist does, but Maggie and I could take you to specific trees that in the fall are brilliant yellow and orange right here in the city, right here in Arizona, where people say there are no changes in the seasons. But the fall season, that tree becomes glorious and it becomes radiant and it becomes beautiful. And then winter comes. And winter comes, with a vengeance, and the leaves begin to fall, and the tree becomes bare. It looks dead. It looks like there's no life, and yet the life is just withdrawn into the inside for a season. And we call it a time of dormancy. A time of dormancy. Christians have seasons in their lives when God strips them of fruit. Christians have seasons in their lives when God strips them bare. And all looks dead. And yet God's hand is upon them. Christians have seasons in their lives when, to all intents and purposes, it looks like there's no life and there's nothing there, especially, and it's the grace of God that brings this season, especially when the time of fruit bearing and the radiance of fall has caused the tree to think that somehow it was the source of its production. That the beauty and the radiance was something inherent within it. That the fruit was because of some kind of work that it did, rather than the nutrients and the water and the sunshine all working together to bring this thing to pass. They think that they've produced something special, and God says it's time for a little winter blast in order to bring us down to weakness and to show us what we really like, just dead branches without Christ. It's the most uncomfortable time when we're reduced to bare branches, is it not? When He lets things die that you thought were meant to be permanent, and yet God says no. But rest assured, springtime comes again, amen? It's the law of God. I want to say that again. Springtime comes again for you. It's the law of God. God will never leave His child in winter barrenness. And you can rest upon that promise of God. All of this involves change. We're still talking about change. Paul said, when I was a child, here are seasons. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought as a child. I behaved as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oh, when the Master comes to examine His tree today, how many of you would fall before Him and say, Lord, I know that what You see is so much childishness. So many childish things and so little maturity and fruit. So much of nothing but springtime buds. So little fruit, so little glory and radiance. What does the Lord see when He looks? Change. God gives us truth and revelation to propel us into a new season because we are creatures of habit. I'm surprised Maggie isn't laughing right now. I'm a creature of habit. And she is a ever-changing woman of the house. And so just when I get the routine down on how we're supposed to do this thing in this room or in this area of the house or with this clothing or whatever it is, she finds a better way. But I have formed the habit. And so it takes me forever to unlearn that habit and learn a new way to do it. And then she goes on to the next one. We are creatures of habit, but beloved, God will not leave us in that place of habitual sameness because He does not want us to be swallowed up by complacency. And so He brings change. Peter encountered the Lord, and listen to this. One day, he's a fisherman. One day, he's a fisherman, and the next day, he's a man of God. One day, he's a fisherman. Then Jesus comes by with a new revelation. Notice, in case you misunderstood what I said a few moments ago, it was not this outline for the rest of his life. It wasn't even an outline for all of the next season. It gave none of the details. The revelation simply came, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it was just enough revelation as to be an invitation to which Peter could respond by faith. and take that step of response. He knew very little of what it would mean for his life. He did not know what it entailed, and he certainly did not know where it would carry him at the end of his life. Suddenly, Peter's life changes. It's turned upside down. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you. Follow me and I will form you. I will make you. I will transform you. I will turn you from a nobody into a somebody. And that little word make in the Greek also carries the meaning of to sprout. Follow me, Peter. Your life has, you've lived all of these years and you've fished all these years. Your life hasn't even begun yet. I have a season for you and it's about to sprout. And God says to some of you this morning, I've got a season for you that you have not even seen. Eyes have not seen. Ear has not heard what the Lord has for those who are His. What He has prepared for you. But it's about to sprout. Follow me and I will make you. What do you suppose He wants to make you? Notice that word is not follow me and I will force you. Follow me and I will create. Follow me and I will form. Follow me and I will shape. Follow me and I will sprout you. Follow me and I will grow you into the man or woman that I want you to be. Number two, new seasons bring new challenges. They're not easy. New seasons bring new challenges. Not just changes, but challenges. I'm just going to list these real quickly because Peter was challenged by a lot of things if you look at his life. Number one, his faith was challenged when Jesus tells him to step out onto the water in the midst of a storm and he walks on water until he begins to look at the waves rather than to put his eyes on Christ. Number two, his feelings were challenged. How many of you know we are such emotional creatures? And how many of you know that when you follow Jesus, your feelings are going to be challenged? How many of you know that you can get your feelings hurt with God? I remember the story of Joseph where it says when his brothers were finally, he revealed himself to his brothers after all of those years. It says, and Joseph spoke roughly to them. Was it with any love, with any lack of love in his heart? No. And our older brother Jesus sometimes speaks roughly to us. He looked at Peter. Peter was saying something that was not by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. And Peter said, no, you're not. Lord forbid that such a thing will happen. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. How would you like it if Jesus looks at you and says, get behind me, Satan, after you followed him for all these years? Peter's feelings are challenged. The third thing is that his traditions were challenged. Everything that he thought concerning what it meant to be a good Jew and a follower of God was turned upside down because everything he had ever known was empty ritual. And now Jesus goes straight to the heart. Number four, his prejudices were challenged. Oh, beloved, our nation is in a season where its prejudices need to be challenged. Jesus took Peter into the land of Samaria, the half-breeds, the ones that the Jews called dogs. Jesus said, I have to go to Samaria because there was a woman there at the well that he was going to give a revelation of himself to. She might begin to proclaim who he was. The fifth thing is false humility was challenged when the Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega, Creator of life, stooped down and washed Peter's feet. Beloved, seasons are for making men and women of God, and God was forming His man. They're for making men and women of God. Peter is being shaped by the Lord, and he's challenged by all of these things, but then one day, the last thing, number six, his loyalty was challenged. His loyalty was challenged. And beloved, I'm going to tell you this morning, there's not a much higher character trait than loyalty. Amen. And there's so little of it today. Whether it's loyalty to the Lord or loyalty to those you work for, loyalty to those in the church. Loyalty is a trait that is so missing today. His loyalty was challenged, and Peter failed, and he denied Jesus three times. But beloved, with every season of your life, there are choices that come. This was part of Peter's season of being formed and being made, and he failed, and he said, I do not know the man. Three times he denied that he knew Jesus. But the choice comes to be true and loyal. The choice comes to you to be true and loyal or to follow self. And Peter failed. He made the wrong choice, but beloved, that's not enough. He failed again. Not only did he fail in denying the Lord three times, but beloved, once again, I will tell you that with every season of failure comes the opportunity for repentance and immediate restoration. Amen. The secret of the Christian life is to quickly repent. Amen. So there's no breach between you and God. Amen. But we think we have to do penance. We think we have to be at a distance. We think we have to not draw near, that we have to be ashamed and all of these things. But he says, no, just repent. Just turn your heart back to the Lord and instantly you're restored. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But Peter failed again because rather than quickly repent, now the Bible says that he followed Jesus at a distance. And beloved, that pattern holds true in so many of our lives today. So many times we've done this. That when we have failed the Lord, rather than turn and quickly repent and be restored to Him, we think that I've let the Lord down. Oh, I'm so ashamed. Oh, I can't ever be back where I was. Oh, woe is me. And we still follow the Lord, we think, but we're following Him at a distance. And our heart's cold. And it's a very hard place to be. And it's a very tough season in which to find yourself. Oh, the season of wintertime. Despite your best efforts, you feel that you've let the Lord down and you are dry and you're empty. You believe that you're a complete and total failure and you follow at a distance. But remember, beloved, there is a purpose. For everything under heaven, there is a time and there is a purpose. Even for your failures. Even for your failures. Peter had to learn in this season, Peter had to learn that Jesus' love is greater than Peter's failure. That God's love is greater than his failure. Same thing for us. When you fail, his grace and his mercy are greater than your shortcomings. Man, I don't know about you. You should be shouting because I could not make it if it were not for that. His grace and his mercy are greater than my shortcomings. Grace, the old hymn says, grace greater than all my sin. Praise God. The remedy for Peter, for all of these things, was his encounter with the resurrected Jesus. First by the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection, and then later on the day of Pentecost. It's a twofold thing. As Peter received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we'll approach that now as we come to this last part. Number three is that new seasons produce new champions or overcomers. How many of you in your heart you say, I want to move from this place of being defeated into being a champion, into being an overcomer, a new season in my life. At Pentecost, Peter was transformed from a fisherman to a preaching powerhouse. Beloved, this is one of the greatest miracles in the Word of God. One is the transformation of the Apostle Paul from a persecutor to an apostle and missionary. And from Peter, the one who was cowardly and denied Christ three times, to one who preached an anointed sermon the first time that he preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. Amazing what God can do in a surrendered life. For you see, they waited in the upper room. There was a season of waiting. They waited in the upper room in prayer and one accord. And we won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 2, Peter stepped into a new season of his life. And I want to stress this morning, because there are seasons and then there's a season. I believe this. There are seasons all throughout our life, but there is a season. The season for which Peter was created. It would span the rest of his life until he gave himself as a martyr for Jesus. And in that time, he would do the will of God fully. And he would walk in boldness and faith and in power. You see, there are seasons. How many seasons did it take in Peter's life to bring him to that place that he could live in the season for which he was created? And beloved, I don't think you should ever, ever, ever let the devil rob you of longing for the season for which you were created. Longing for the season for which you were created. I know that in the church today, there are many who just their whole ministry is preaching about finding your destiny and how to be successful. And you know that that's not all that I'm about. But I'm telling you, God has a place for you, a purpose for you. And I believe there's a season for your life for which He created you. And you've not gotten to it yet. Neither have I. None of us have quite reached the fullness, I don't believe, of what God has for us yet. And we should not stop longing for it, praying for it. Say, God, in this season, I'm in winter time right now, Lord. I'm so barren. I'm so dry. There's no produce. There's no fruit. There's no life. God, prepare me. Show me what you want to teach me in weakness in this season. Or maybe it's the time of springtime and there are new truths that He's showing you and you're beginning to grow and you're beginning to learn. But that's only the childhood. Those are the days of childish things. He told one of the churches, he said, by now you should be able to eat meat, but you're still eating baby food. Well, there's a season for baby food, but there's a season for meat. Don't ever be satisfied where you are spiritually. When Paul said, be content in all things, he did not mean spiritually. Never be content without more of Christ. Never be content without more revelation of the Lord, without more of His Word. Never be content. You know, beloved, I'm just going to be transparent with you for a moment. I've been in a crazy season for some time, but I didn't talk about the crazy season this morning, but I was born in a crazy season. But, you know, there are times in my life that all I wanted was to be fruitful for the Lord. There have been times in my life that all I wanted to do was to go somewhere and do something for God. There's a time in my life that I just want to do great things for God. And where I find myself right now is what I preached on a lot this last half of the year. I just want to know fully what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. What a season. What a season. Because out of that will grow all the other things. Don't be satisfied. I can tell you, I know how to go into the secret place and be with the Lord, but does that mean I'm there? Does that mean I dwell there all of the time like I desire to? No. And so there's always a better season. Don't stop longing for the better. Don't ever think that you don't matter to God. Don't ever think that, well, this is as good as it gets. Don't ever think, well, I'm not called to be a preacher, a pastor. I'm not called to be a deacon, an elder, all those things. That doesn't mean that you're any less called of God to walk with Him, to sprout, to put forth fruit, to have seasons where you're stripped bare and you may hate it, but then you learn that it was good because God's hand was upon you. If you walk with God, you need to be able to. Let me say, this may sound scholarly or like a student. I don't mean it that way. You should be able to sit down and write out what God's doing in your life right now. What's God saying to me right now? What is He doing? And if you're not, there are times I don't know what He's saying. I'm not sure what He's saying. But I know He's saying, wait. I know He's saying, listen. I know He's saying, don't give up. I know He's saying, there's still something more. Don't go through your life not thinking about these things. Well, just go to church on Sunday and then all week long I want to get along with everybody. I want to have my friends. I want to be sure I'm comfortable. One day that'll all be past. And eternity will be in view. There is a season for which you were created. Mothers who are raising children and working, and you think, well, that's all there's time for. Beloved, there has to be time to find Him. There has to be time to know what kind of tree you are right now. There has to be a time to say, God, keep your hand upon me and reveal yourself. I need truth for this week, Lord God. These children are driving me out of my mind. And if you don't give me a revelation of yourself for this week, I'm going to be in the nut house. That's okay, because He'll meet you right where you are.
Amen.
Don't be satisfied to be cold. Coldness of heart is not an ordained season of God. Wintertime is not the same thing as coldness of heart. Wintertime is only when the sap goes back down into the tree. It's not flowing up and out. It's being conserved for a season for the new thing that's going to take place. Hardness of heart and unbelief are grave sins. If your heart is hard and cold this morning, you need to go to God. And you need to say, Lord, change my heart, O God. Do something new in me this day. Because it can't wait. The goal of the church is manifold. That means it's expressed in many, many ways. It involves glorifying Christ and made Him known in the earth. But God is also about seasons in the church. And He's calling His church to a new season. I believe this. I believe that we may have a reprieve. We may have a time of at least a halting temporarily of some of the agenda in our nation. But beloved, as I've said before, our hope is not in kings, and God has already shown us what's coming. God wants to do a new work in His church. I know sometimes it seems like I'm so harsh about the church world. And I know that God has many, many faithful servants out there in this nation. But beloved, let me tell you today, there is great, great shame upon the Church of Jesus Christ. The bride's gown is tattered and dirty and filthy because the things of the world have been mixed with the things of God. And because Christians compromise and think they can just dabble in the world and dabble in the things of God and never fully embrace the will of God for their lives. God's calling the church to a season. A season for which she was created. A season of following Him. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, follow Him, it turned His whole world upside down. The church needs to be turned upside down and become followers of Jesus Christ. A season where the world knows that we are called, that we are set apart by the Lord. A season of open heaven where God is speaking to His people. Season where captives are being set free. Where depressed people break forth in rejoicing. A season where those who are rejected are accepted in the body of Christ. A time when your grief turns to joy. Some of you have a grief that you can't share with anyone in here this morning, and God wants to give you a season of joy. Where things that are taken from you by the enemy have to be restored to you. I've talked to you about this before. You should make it your prayer, according to the Word of God, that the Lord would restore everything that the locusts have eaten, everything the enemy has stolen from you. You make that your fervent prayer, and God will begin to do it, I promise you. Some of you have been through some seasons where if you praised God, it was only through your tears. If you walked with God, it was with great, great struggle. But seasons change. He will not leave His children in winter.
Amen.
God wants to do something new. With every season in Peter's life, and this shows that I'm not just preaching a feel-good sermon. With every season in Peter's life, there was a deeper call to obey. And that season cannot progress without obedience. There was a call to greater faith and a call to death to self. I want to close by reading John chapter 21. If you'll turn there, John chapter 21. This is where Jesus has been resurrected. Peter doesn't know what's going to happen next, and Peter just says, I'm going back to fishing. He goes back to where he was when Jesus called him the very first time. They're in the boat, and they look up, and there's a man on the shore. They don't recognize him at first. It's Jesus. He's cooked a meal. And Jesus calls them ashore, and I'm skipping over to verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than... I don't want to drag this out, but you have to understand what's happening here. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than all these others do? Why would he ask him such a thing? Because that was the boastfulness of Peter's past. Lord, I'll follow you to death. I'll follow you. I'm not even going to let you go to the cross. I love you. I'll never deny you. Then what did he do? He denied him. And he's not been restored until now. And Jesus says, do you love me more than all of these? Peter's not so brash anymore. He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. He's calling him now to the season for which he was created. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Isn't it amazing how God will simply take you right back to where he first met you and issue the same call again? Follow me, Peter. Follow me. I could name you by name here this morning. Follow me. Follow me. When you were young, and this was speaking about Peter's arrest and eventual death, but oh, how it speaks to us. Peter, when you were young. Richard, when you were young. Isella, when you were young. Alex, when you were young. Cindy, when you were young. Paul, when you were young. You went where you wanted to go. No one hindered you. You said, today I think I'll go and I'll do this, and here I'll go today or tomorrow and I will do this. Jesus says to you now, you're going to stretch out your hands to him. And they'll be bound. And you'll be led. Sometimes places where you don't even want to go. Sometimes seasons that you did not ever want to enter. Sometimes hard places. And in this he'll show you the death. You're going to die, the death to self, that you're going to die in order that you might experience the season that he has ordained for you, the season for which you were created. That season does not come without cost. It does not come without obedience. It does not come without death to self. But he's been preparing you. Season after season after season. How many of you say, I just want to stay in the season where I am? Well, I don't. I don't know about you. Maybe yours is so wonderful. But if it's so wonderful, he's going to want to stretch you beyond that. But the Lord says, embrace the seasons that I have for you and don't stop seeking the season for which you were created. Amen. Let's stand.